Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you will quickly come on in and grab a seat, we're about to get started. I want to extend a welcome to Christy and Bill. God bless you and thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Let's extend a warm welcome to them. And now for our Trinity liturgy, welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Will you prepare your hearts and your minds as Bob Edmonds is going to come at this time and share with us regarding the Castle Del Rey. Give Bob a warm welcome as he comes as well. Thank you so much, Bob, for being here with us this morning. Joy to see you.
Morning. For over 20 years, we at Trinity have been very faithful in our support for the children's homes in Mexico that were founded by Bob and Betty King's ministry. These homes include the Casa del Rey Girls Home, the Hogar del Rey Boys Ranch, and children's homes in Piedras Negras and Torreon. In these homes, children who are orphaned or have been abandoned, abused, and in some cases enslaved, are raised in a protective, loving environment. They're educated and they're helped to develop a lifetime foundation in Christian faith. And over the years, we've had the privilege of seeing children grow up to become caregivers themselves, teachers, ministers, workers in the children's homes, and loving parents. And for many years, we at Trinity sent work teams at Christmas time to construct and renovate at the children's homes. But for the last 2 years, because of drug gang violence and kidnappings, we haven't felt it was safe to do so. And this has been true for other supporting churches as well. Now the children's homes are in a crisis because of the fall off in work teams, and even more so because of the fall off in related financial support. In addition to the continuing needs of caring for the children, at the Casa del Rey girls' homes, a security wall is required all around the property, because the Zeta drug cartel is meeting beneath a bridge just beyond the rear of the girls' home property, and without warning, they're driving large pickup trucks through the girls' home property, endangering the lives of the children. So the mission box today is in support of these children's homes, and I'd ask you to please give generously to continue to provide protection and care for these beautiful kids. Thank you.
I joined the staff of this church 7 years ago. This is my 10th campaign that I have led, 3 capital campaigns and 7 annual campaigns. And I have never been more excited about being a part of the staff of this church and leading a campaign than I am right now. What this church does in this community and around the world is amazing. And I'm honored to have a chance to encourage you to participate by giving your pledge to the church for 2013. There are baskets placed around the worship center in the front here. I'll come back up at the end of the service and remind you of this, but during our closing hymn, we invite you to come up and place your pledge cards in one of these baskets. Now, I'm delighted to say that before today, we've received already almost $400,000 in pledges, even before the closing day. And so that's the most that I know of that we've ever received in advance of the closing day. But our goal is $2 million. So I ask that each of you prayerfully consider what you might do. Fill out your pledge card if you hadn't already and prepare to bring it down front. Now, there are extra pledge cards that have been placed in our attendance registration pads if you forgot to bring yours. Or you can go online and there's a pledge card online. The ushers have some in the back here. If you'd like to have some, you can lift your hand. They'll bring you one. No reason for you not to have one. Thank you so much for your participation. We're excited about it. And at the end of the service, I'll come back and remind you about this. Thank you.
One, two, three, four, eight. stand as we sing our opening hymns, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High and Standing on the Promises.
Share together the affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
At this time, we have the joy of the sacrament of baptism, and Elizabeth will lead us in this time. Thank you, Elizabeth.
We'd like to invite the Rochford family to come forward for the baptism of Caroline and all their family members as well. We have family from Jacksonville and Orlando that drove up this morning.
Wonderful. Come on up.
And Evan and Claire, big brother and sister, are going to help us with this baptism as well.
Oh, good. Thank you. All right. Nice to have you all here. And you are such a beautiful child. Wow. Nice to have you for this sacrament of baptism. I don't know. I guess we can't show both the live and the one that's up. But at any rate, this is just the best. I haven't had that kind of attention in forever, man. I like it. Yeah. By the way, let me say a word about your mommy. A few years ago when one of our families was going through a real hard time. What's your first name? Megan was just right there. I mean, if you're ever in a crisis, Megan's the one to call. She's just the best. Let me pray over the water. God, we give you thanks for the gift of water. We ask your blessings upon this water, this sacrament. It's one of the two major sacraments. We'll also celebrate Holy Communion today. But this is an expression of your love and grace to us, and particularly now to Caroline. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I'll ask you these questions. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Do you promise, as God gives you grace and strength to lead lives, yeah, pleasing to God and a good example for this child, will you? And will you rear Caroline in the ministry and guidance of the church so she can come to a deep and wonderful relationship with God through Jesus, will you? Okay.
All right. We present Caroline Graham Rochford for baptism.
Caroline Graham Rochford, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look up here, Caroline. Yeah. Good. You're checking it out, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, good. But you all... This is Caroline Graham Rochford. Oh. Would you say these words to Caroline? We welcome you to our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you all. Let's sing our song. Congratulations.
Jesus loved you, we do too. We'll prepare a place for you where you'll grow in faith so strong and you'll serve Him all life long. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you.
Now we have the joy of Kathy Jenkins is going to join the church. I know Kathy for many years, and nice to have you here and becoming a part of our church. Yeah, you can stand right here. And you know what? I did your mommy and daddy's wedding a long time. I don't know. How long ago? 12 years ago. Jamie and, wait a minute, Randy Jenkins. And what's your name? Lindsay and Matthew. Nice to have you standing up here with Grandma. What do you call her? Grandma or? Who?
Nanny.
Nanny? Nana? Isn't it fun? You answer to most anything. Kathy, we're glad you're here. Will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Will you? Let me pray with you. God, we give you thanks for Kathy. Thank you that she's becoming a part of this church in a formal way, been coming a long time. For her family, we give you thanks. May your blessings rest upon her. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good to see you. And I think, I don't know if we're going to say any words to you or not. Yes, we are. We welcome you to our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ, devoted to making a difference in the world. God bless you. Would you welcome Kathy Jenkins? Have a seat. We're delighted all of you are here. I see somebody's back from FSU. Miles, stand and let us see the letters on that. Now, hey, he's on the enemy territory. What's the matter here? We're coming your way in a couple weeks, right? Yeah, okay. You guys are looking good. Looking good. Squeaked by Virginia Tech, but you're looking good. And now Frank Moses. Frank, would you come up? And we have some special guests here today. And
Would my friends Gene and Pastor Willio stand? Pastor Willio Joseph from Wanamant, Stewardship Sunday. We are another orphanage we're supporting in Wanamant, Haiti, his church and his orphanage. And Gene, my friend from First Methodist in Pensacola, who is part of our coalition that's been built with now up to four other churches to support this effort. So I want you to know that everything that you give is doing great things, not only in Casa del Rey, but in Haiti as well. And the occasion for them being here is that they're flying back from Michigan with Davy, one of the orphans, a 9-year-old boy who had a specialist, a pediatric surgeon, work on his hip. He had a congenital hip defect. And Liza Case, one of our members, arranged for a free surgery in Michigan. And Gene graciously flew his plane up there and is bringing them back. The boy's in a body cast and is recovering at Liza's house today. So if you would welcome them, they're part of the body of Christ nationwide.
Thanks, Greg. One of our goals as a church is to partner with other churches, and as Frank mentioned, with a church in Chicago, church in one or two churches in the Panhandle, and just recently a church, Wesley Chapel Methodist Church here in town. So we're very excited about that. Our prayer request at prayer time are going to be a little different today. Actually, it's going to be really pretty intense, but we'll explain it as we go. You'll see on the bulletin or the screens here, a person's in the hospital. Sam Grainer, Martha Matthews had hip surgery and has some pneumonia, I think is improving. Charles Johnson, I think, was going to go home. Nick Koenigstein, Ruby Beal went home. And Catherine Tavane Griffiths is still in the hospital. Gail Bryan. And then in rehab, we invite your prayers for those persons. Today, Veterans Day, one of you sent me a video or a series of photos, a story without words, which is very powerful. But I wanted to, and we're going to show that today, but before we show it, I wanted to share with you about, Eddie Klein. You remember I talked to you about Eddie, sent an email. His parents, Sally and Klein, And he was in, they've just been in members for a year. He's in Afghanistan and was hit by an IED and lost both legs and an arm. And we've been tracking, and she's been very appreciative of our prayers for them. Just touch and go. He's made it to Bethesda Naval Hospital. And I asked her if she would give us an update. She said, it's been a tough week with lots of ups and downs. Eddie goes to surgery for 8 to 9 hours every other day and is on high doses of narcotics for pain, so he's not very alert. We get excited by eye blinks on command. He did get extubated for a few hours yesterday, but the tube is back in today for surgery. He's had lots of complications, sepsis, fungal infection, CSF leak, pulmonary embolus. The docs remain optimistic, and we try to be also. There's a lot of family support here. And thanks to Trinity for your prayer support. That's Eddie Klein. We invite you to keep Eddie in your prayers. And you'll notice in the bulletin the flowers in memory of Chris Nyberger. His parents were in the service the last hour. And Leslie Rembert, given anonymously. What we're going to do is, in a minute, we'll ask you to stand and we'll sing the first verse of America the Beautiful. And then Alice and, I don't know who's going to play, Alice and Janet's going to play the second verse while we watch these slides, this story without words, and then we'll finish the song, America the Beautiful. And after that, I'll pray. So would you stand as we sing this morning?
Thank you. Would you continue in this spirit and pray with me? Oh God, on this Sunday, the day before Veterans Day, we bow our hearts and minds before you. We give you thanks for veterans throughout the years and in these days. We honor them. We honor their sacrifice. We also honor them by helping to make known the awfulness of war, the lives that are so dramatically impacted, and we pray for peace, for an early return of the men and women from Afghanistan. We pray for us, that we might be instruments of your peace, that we might do the kinds of things that honor you, that follow the one who is the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. Oh God, may all our veterans feel this honor, and may we seek to follow you in the ways of peace. Be with those whose names we've mentioned and others whom we lift before you for the healing power of Christ. We believe in the power of the healing work of God. We ask your blessings upon them. These and other things we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us when we gather together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite the ushers to come forward. Because of the intensity of that, we're not going to stand and greet each other as we often do. Ushers, would you come? As they come, let me remind you that Ben Haynes will be out in front afterwards to order your Christmas trees. Every tree is a great tree. And I think tomorrow is the last day for that. Note the stuff about Thanksgiving baskets, and you can help with that, and we invite you to do that. And this Wednesday night is the Rejoice performance at 6:30 here in the Worship Center. Pray with me, would you? God, for the privilege indeed, the joy of giving out of the abundance you've given us, forgive us when we are tempted to withhold, but thank you for the generosity you place in our hearts. Bless these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, I'm Marie McNeese, and the next song we will be singing is One Day by Matusia. The main themes in this song are peace, happiness, and people generally just living in harmony. It seems like everywhere you look nowadays, there's hardship all around. If you turn on the news, all you're going to see are updates on wars, disasters, and crisis. People all around the world are in desperate need, and I believe that the message in this song is that one day our world can be a place where all that need is gone in the world, and people can live in a world where there's no violence and pain, and just be happy. My favorite lyric in this song is, "One day we'll all be free and proud to be under the same sun." Nobel Peace Prize winner Elie Wiesel once said, "Mankind must remember, peace is not God's gift to humanity, but humanity's gift to itself." And I personally can't think of anything more pleasing to God than people among the people that He has created. So now singing One Day is Hannah Holmes.
Sometimes in my fears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So
Oh, my. Sunlight, thank you. Awesome. Hannah. Hey, can you all do that one more time? Alice, can you do it one more time? Okay. At the end of the service? Can we do that when people bring their... You guys represent just so much positive to us, and if you could do it. Hannah, you up for it? Are you up for singing it once more? Okay. Hey, I'm going to tread where preachers shouldn't tread this morning. I'm going to tread, especially on Stewardship Sunday, Troy. I know you had a heart attack last service. I'm going to talk about the election. Just calm down. You know, at a church like Trinity, I don't know if it shakes out 50-50. I don't know what it shakes out here. But in some sense, you know, the election could have gone either way. And however, because of the way it was framed, the people whose candidate did not win, many have felt deflated and overwhelmed. And I'm going to use the word in exile, and I'm going to talk about that. So I could give this sermon regardless of which candidate won. And pray for me. I want to enter into some of the feelings, perhaps, of people whose candidate did not win. And try to maybe pull us together, invite us to come together. And I'm going to use three scripture passages. One from Genesis, the Noah story. One from Jeremiah, the story of the exile. In 587, Babylonians captured Israel, Jerusalem, destroyed it, took them off into exile 700 miles to the east into Babylon. And then John's Gospel, the last chapter of John's Gospel. I want to begin with this series of slides that you all were so good to send me about rainbows. And there's just a bunch of them, but I want to just go through them. Because rainbows have in the Noah story, you know, when Noah, after the flood, everything looked awful. And, you know, we sort of idealize the Noah story. And we have these little arcs and all that wonderful thing. But you know what it looks like after a flood? That's what Noah saw. And yet he also saw a rainbow. And so there's this rainbow. So let's look at just a few of these. This is from Drew Weissman over in England. The next one is from Joan Rix when she was in Russia. Just keep going through them. The Shea children. And after a carnival, what a wonderful picture. This is one that kind of sparked this. Peggy Ferguson. Peggy, if you're here, would you introduce yourself to me later? I don't know that I met you, but you sent that one. This is at the swamp after the LSU game, and actually that rainbow didn't appear yesterday until 2 seconds before the end of the game. Wow, what a game. Oh, gee. Titusville, Cynthia Garrett, a couple more. Iowa, Bills, and spends a lot of time in Iowa. Tucson, Arizona, a relative of somebody in this church who gets... This one was sent to Jan and me about 1 month or 2 months into Siobhan's accident. It was a sign of hope, and I've got it on my bookcase over in the office. You know, that's kind of what a rainbow does. And then, wow, John Harvey sent me these two slides, Iguazu Falls, and now that's on my bucket list. I'd love to go there in Brazil. And then Peggy Kirkpatrick sent this one from Bora Bora. Isn't that beautiful? And isn't there something about a rainbow? I mean, we're sort of moved by it. We're it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's a sense that yes, God is still God, and God is in control, and God is God. And even though we can get overwhelmed by the floods of life, God is God. Now, this text from Jeremiah, the last two verses I've known for many years. I've never connected with these verses. And I dare say most of you haven't either. Here's the verses in Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7. What happened was, the people had been hauled off into exile. And Jeremiah then sends a letter to them by way of two people. And this is what the letter says. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all the house I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage That was still back in the arranged marriage day, and I know you parents of teenagers want to go back to that day, but it probably won't happen. So that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number there, do not decrease. This is a remarkable letter. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. May God add His blessing to this reading of God's Word. As I say in 587, people of Jerusalem, people of Israel were carried off into exile 700 miles away. They were uprooted from their homes. They were uprooted from the land that had been promised to them. They were uprooted from their temple. They were in exile. They were with people they didn't like. They were with people they didn't want to be around. The customs were unusual. The weather was bad. They spoke with an accent. It's like when we moved from the north to the Florida and think, what's going on? Except this was not chosen. And so as I felt with people who, for whom the lecture was not good news, I felt there's this sense of exile. Is there a word from God? You know, exile, this sort of disorientation, not being where we find ourselves, or not liking the surroundings that we perceive are around us. It happens all through our lives. In a sense, a little infant is exiled from the womb into the harsh realities of the world. You remember when you were exiled from home into kindergarten? It's traumatic for lots of people. You're exiled into middle school. You're exiled from school to the working world. A sense of exile when a divorce happens sometimes. A sense of exile when an election happens sometimes. It's that feeling of, oh my word, I don't know if I like where I'm at. Or some of the things I believe don't seem to be true. And in Israel's situation, when they were hauled off, there were two or three prophets who were fueling the fire, as it were. Ahab and Zedekiah were two of them that said, yeah, you're going to be home soon. You know, you don't like it here. I don't like it here. We shouldn't be here. And just sort of fed all of that. And then comes this word from Jeremiah. Could you bring that back up, the text from Jeremiah? Wow, I think it's a text for us today. This is what God said. Number one, four things. Build houses and settle down. Jeremiah said, look, you're going to go home, but it's going to be a long time. They were there 70 years. Build houses and settle down. Dig the foundations. Become a part of this society you're in. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Get into the rhythm of the seasons. Understand the Babylonian irrigation system. All of those sorts of things. What's the next one? Marry. Marry the goyim, the non-Jewish people. You're not above them, nor are they above you. Become a part. Become a part. I mean, you think the division in this country is serious? Think about, I mean, nothing compared to that. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Paul said it in Romans 13, pray for the government, pray for its leaders. So this was Jeremiah's word, and I think it's a word for us as a community, as a country, as a people, these four things. Exile is a time of disequilibrium. It's a time of challenge. But hear this. In Israel's situation, it was the most creative period in their history. It was the most creative period in their history. It's when they wrote down the book. They took all the oral tradition, all the fragments, and created the Hebrew Bible. It's when they realized that God wasn't limited to a building, but God was everywhere. It was when they gained a great sense of self-identity, one of the most creative periods in the world, in their history. And that's the way that adversity, the old saying, if it doesn't kill us, it makes us stronger. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Jeremiah's talking about. Now let me make this personal. I'm just trying to enter into this thing. Don't feel sorry for me. Well, you can feel sorry for me if you want. But, we're in the middle of a wonderful planning process, a 3-year visioning process. We've completed our 10-year thing in 6 years, and we're launching into these things. And we're really dealing with some things that how can we go to the next level at Trinity? And we've done the SWOT analysis. It's just been great. 35 or 40 people of this church involved. And we're going to involve the congregation. It's a great process. We've done the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, the SWOT analysis. And then this past Wednesday night, after the strengths and weaknesses and all those things, we've drilled down into 4 areas. And some of those are connections, communications, all this stuff. Then we got to worship service. And I've been a proponent of, we need a worship service for 18 to 35-year-olds with a young pastor. Now, it's one thing for me to say that. Another thing when you start saying that and affirming that, and that was kind of voiced the other night. I mean, all the things that were voiced were, we're not always meeting the needs of folks. And, I'm one of these people that internalizes. Any of you like that? I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I'm just feeling, I woke up Wednesday morning super depressed, in exile. And then I read Jeremiah, and I thought, wow, this is the most creative period in their life, and this is going to be one of the best things this church has done, this sort of process. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? I can't tell if you're... That's the other thing. I've got to have cataract surgery. I'm getting old. I can't even see what you're thinking out there. Well, let's go to the third piece. It's John's Gospel, chapter 21. Remember after the resurrection, after crucifixion, resurrection, Peter's living between two realities. The reality of the night he betrayed Jesus, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. And he can't quite embrace this new reality yet. He's seen the resurrected Lord, but this is so strong in his mind, and he says, I'm going fishing. And the others say, we're going with you. He's still living in this old reality. Calling back to the familiar, that's what we tend to do. And so he's there gets in the boat, and then they aren't catching any fish, and they hear this voice, hey, have you caught any fish? And they know it's Jesus. And they get offshore, and Jesus is there fixing a breakfast for them. And Jesus asks him these questions. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. 3 times he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it's like what every time we experience Holy Communion, the body of Christ, feed my sheep. Here it is, the very presence of the living Christ, just as real as it was with Peter there on the seashore. And the blood of Christ shed for you and for me for the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus said again, Peter, feed my sheep. And Peter said, well, what about John? And Jesus said, don't worry about John. I want you to feed my sheep. Dear friends, I don't know where you were in the election. I know that God is sovereign. God is powerful. God is in control. And I know there's a lot more work for the church to do. Feed my sheep. I invite you today to, when you make your pledge, give generously so that we can do that in a great way. There are orphanages that need help. There are hungry that need fed. There are scores, hundreds of people who need to hear that God loves them and they can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So would you pray with me? Oh God, as we prepare to give our gifts as we make our pledges to the work of your church and receive Holy Communion. I'm reminded of the words of John Michael Talbot. John Michael Talbot has reminded us that every time we receive communion, it's God giving Himself fully to us. And as we eat the bread and the cup, if we do it sincerely, we're giving ourselves completely anew and afresh to God Himself. Make that so, we pray, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Troy, would you come and lead us in this last part?
I love the theme of this campaign, more blessed to give. Think about that. We really are more blessed to give. And you know, as we come down, I think that the youth are going to sing instead of us singing closing hymn. They'll sing, and while they're singing, you can come down. I think it's wonderful that you can come and bring your pledge cards and place them in the baskets. You can participate in Holy Communion. You can kneel at this altar and pray, because all of these are part of our spiritual journey together. So I invite you to remember that it really is, that we really are more blessed to give. Come, if you will, while our youth sing. They sing.
would you take somebody's hand and receive the benediction, and I'll pray long while sunlight gets back up in there. Actually, it's so heartwarming to see sunlight, so you all take communion like you do, and God bless you. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.